Still to come, we'll have the answers to your space science questions and a fact impact all about galaxies. But first, an unusually bright and long-lived burst of gamma rays was detected by the SWIFT satellite in March this year. It was pretty spectacular and unlike anything we've ever seen before, and researchers think it was the result of a star about the size of our sun being torn to shreds by a supermassive black hole. To find out more, I spoke to Andrew Levan from Warwick University.
So what we saw here, the first observation we had was a detection of a flash of gamma rays from the SWIFT satellite at about lunchtime on the 28th of March this year, and that was the first hint we had of anything going on. We then followed up that location that came from that observation with a range of telescopes over the next 24 to 48 hours. And in particular, using the Gemini telescope, we were able to obtain a distance to this event. And then actually, as things progressed, we saw that this flashed not just once in gamma rays, but actually four times in total over those 48 hours. So it was really that sort of two-day period from the 28th to the 30th of March where we first saw this and we first realized that it was something very special.
The fact that it was gamma rays we were picking up suggests that this is actually a very energetic event.
Oh, absolutely, yes. So only the most energetic events in the universe can easily produce copious amounts of gamma rays. And so that really involves interactions of very high energy with things like neutron stars, which are very compact stars, and black holes.
What was the next step? Now that we've observed it with a few different telescopes, how do we then start to tease apart the story and work out what this event actually was?
So what we did, having ascertained that this was already something unlike anything we'd seen before, it turned out that the crucial diagnostic was where in the galaxy this event came from. So we'd measured the distance to the galaxy, but we now want to know, is it just out anywhere at random in the galaxy, or more or less, or is it right in the middle of the galaxy? And so, again, using another range of telescopes, about 15 in total, stretching from the gamma ray all the way to the radio, so right across the electromagnetic spectrum, we were able to pinpoint the location of this event to the very core, the very nucleus of this galaxy. And what that told us was, coupled with how energetic and how bright it was almost certainly involving the supermassive black hole, that is a black hole with the mass of a million times the mass of the sun, which sits in the very middle of the galaxy. So that was the first major step, that you realize it was something to do with the central black hole. And then you can look at the properties of this event, so how it evolves in time, for example. And using that, you come up with the only plausible model that you can come up with, which is that what you're seeing is not something which is very long-lived. You're seeing something that's over within a few months at least, which is a star being shredded and falling into that black hole.
That sounds like an incredibly destructive process, which would, I guess, explain the energy that was given out. But what else that we know of could have been responsible? What other processes give out that sort of energy?
The thing that we thought this was, you know, when it first went off, it was detected by this mission called SWIFT, which studies gamma ray bursts. And so gamma ray bursts are caused when a very massive star, say 30 or 40 times the mass of the sun, runs out of fuel in the middle and collapses under its own weight to make a black hole. That's the sort of thing that creates this sort of energy. But that only happens once. You can only collapse your star once. And so you don't get these repetitive gamma ray flashes over 2 days. And also, it just doesn't last at the same bright level for so long as this did. The other sort of event that you can be talking about is what's called an active galaxy, and that does involve fueling of the black hole in the middle, but by a more continuous process, for example, just dust and gas falling onto the black hole over millions of years. But those systems evolve very slowly and can't match the speed with which this thing rose, and also don't get as bright.
From the star's perspective, what do we think actually happened? How does a black hole tear a star apart?
Okay, so what happens when a black hole tears a star apart? It's not as simple as just a black hole and the star going straight into the black hole and vanishing. That's actually a very rare sort of thing. You have a really head-on collision. So what happens is the star just happens to pass too close to the black hole. And as it passes too close to the black hole, it gets pulled by what we call the tidal force. That's basically just a very strong gravitational field of the black hole, which pulls on the star and deforms it. And so as it comes sweeping past the black hole, it basically gets shredded into a sort of banana shape. So after this, you've got this really thing you almost wouldn't recognize as a star. It's basically this banana-shaped stream of matter. And then that matter rains down onto the black hole. It actually forms a little disk around the black hole, which then collapses onto the black hole. So the star is very rapidly ripped into pieces.
This has been a unique observation, but do we think it's a very rare event, or is it more our own circumstances that lead us to not observe it very often?
There are sort of two questions in that. So firstly, this is a very rare event to see in this particular nature, which is the sense that not only do we think that we're seeing this star which is being shredded, but we think we're seeing relativistic jets of material. That means we're seeing matter accelerated to very near the speed of light, which is coming off in two beams of light from the black hole. And we happen to see such a bright event because we're looking straight down the beam. And things, events like this are very, very rare. So they're probably something like 1 per billion years per galaxy. But black holes swallowing stars where either we don't look down the beam or the beam doesn't exist, perhaps happen, again, pretty rare, but perhaps every 100,000 years per galaxy, which is obviously much more common. So there's a combination of effects there. It is a rare event, but this particular version is extremely rare.
Could we look for evidence of these jets of matter in other ways? So even when we're not down the direct barrel of this collimated energy, can we see the evidence of these happening elsewhere?
That's a good question. Because although they're jets moving near the speed of light, they're still not that big on the sky because they don't last for that long. So you can't just see them as these beautiful jets you sometimes see in some images of galaxies where you see these lovely radio jets. But what does happen with jets is that as they sort of move away from the source, they interact with all the sort of material that's around and slow down, and then they spread out. So at late times, you might actually be able to see evidence for the jet, in particular in the radio bands from other sources. And so people have talked about the possibility that you could look for what we would call off-axis events by looking in the right wave band at the right time.
This has obviously been quite a serendipitous observation, really. But now that we have seen it and we understand what happened, how does that help to complete our story of the life of stars, of the life of galaxies?
Well, one of the things which is a very important question in astronomy is how galaxies and their central black holes form and evolve. And in particular, for reasons that actually aren't entirely obvious, the nature of the black hole in the middle of the galaxy seems to be very tied to the nature of the galaxy around it. So more massive galaxies have more massive black holes in the middle. And so there's an issue really of how black holes grow. Now, if you can imagine, if you're throwing a star with a mass a few times out of the sun into a black hole every 100,000 years, that's a rare event. But over the lifetime of the universe, which is 10 billion years, that's still a lot of stars. And so you can actually build up a substantial fraction of the black hole mass, and that affects, of course, the galaxy evolution. So trying to understand the rates at which these events happen does have important implications for our understanding of galaxy formation, as well as just understanding the physics of what drives these extremely luminous explosions.
Andrew Levan from Warwick University.